Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Kevin Combs, Vice President here at McKinney Flavelle. Today is June 10th, 2021, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about the WASDE report. And as you may notice, I'm filling in here for our MC who decided to take a vacation day. I didn't know these were allowed, Nicole. When did we start allowing vacation on WASDE days?
Well, apparently I'm not allowed to take vacation ever again because when I do the corn market rallies. So
you're definitely not going anywhere. I'll tell you. I will tell you when you can go on vacation then. So as you guys can guess, today I have the world famous Nicole Thomas joining me, our Vice President of Information Services. And today we're going to be talking about the WASDE report, corn, soybeans, soybean oil, and lastly, sugar. And Nicole, did you look at the sugar numbers at all?
I glanced at the sugar numbers.
You saw everything then?
Yeah,
there
exactly.
Was like one whole change. It led to lots of other changes throughout the reports because it was a 50,000 ton reduction to imports for other program, also known as a re-export program. And that, you know, lowered ending stocks for 2021 and lowered beginning stocks for 2022 and lowered ending stocks for 2022. And yeah, it wasn't very exciting, but June never gets too exciting from a sugar front other than, you know, we are starting to see a little bit of activity out there in the marketplace as I think a lot of users are.
Yes.
Looking at sugar and they're saying, oh, gee, sugar prices are up $1.50 over last year. Little bit of inflation, 3 to 4%. 3 to 4%, that's it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Holy cow. But I'm looking at soybean oil and I'm looking at corn and I'm looking at massive inflation of 50, 75, 100%. So
freight, lumber, container shipments,
and
bottled water. I don't know. Everything.
everything. Even energy's back up. So, right. Yes. So, anyway, Nicole, I think the excitement's going to come from you today because there just isn't that much to talk about sugar. So, what you seeing out there in the reports today?
Well, you know, it is interesting because arguably the more exciting thing was outside of the WASDE report. I'll hit on that in a second. As far as the WASDE was concerned, We were a little surprised, at least based on, you know, what analyst expectations suggested prior to this report, in that ending stocks for this year were lowered by 150 million bushels. That puts us at just slightly above 1.1 billion bushels.
That's only about three times what we're expecting, though, as far as the reduction goes. That's in the realm of norm.
Yeah, right. These days with reports. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it's not too bad. Not too bad at all. You know, better numbers for ethanol, better numbers for exports. I don't disagree with either. I think, you know, kind of following along with where things have been progressing, particularly with ethanol. Ethanol has been on quite a rebound now, up 40% versus last year when we looked at the April numbers. Now, that in terms of corn usage,
sure,
that wouldn't seem that phenomenal because things were so horrible last year.
Yep.
But it even came in above the five-year average, and that I think gets a little attention. Although some of that is likely going to stocks building in terms of usage and production, I do think it's a signal that we're getting on the other end of this. And just based off of what I'm seeing in traffic picking up in a lot of places and folks really eager to get out and do things,
yep.
I think we're definitely on the road to recovery there.
Yep. Certainly seeing that traffic in California. So it's starting to build, especially over Memorial Day. It was pretty bad.
Yeah. I definitely noticed the same in my travels. And then, you know, of course, if you lower ending stocks for 2021, then that means you're going to lower beginning stocks for 21-22, which will ultimately lower ending stocks, which are now pegged at 1.357 billion. That gets you a stocks to use of 9%, a little over 9%. Obviously, no one's super excited about that. But we also must keep in mind that this is based off of the acreage numbers presented in March, which I think everyone in the market is very confident were understated, particularly for corn. And I can also say in my travels, it looks like there's a lot of corn acres being planted in places that you would not necessarily see planted if prices were a lot weaker. So, you know, river bottoms, areas reasonably close to lakes that might be prone to flooding if it's too wet, that type of thing. So, you know, kind of keep that in the back of everyone's mind that it may not be that bad. We'll see how it goes.
Yes, we certainly will. High prices creates more grain, and rain makes grain. So we just,
except when you don't get rain, and that's Brazil's story right now. So that was the bigger piece of news. So, you know, with WASDE, we saw global ending stocks go down 3 million metric tons, more or less all due to Brazil. So USDA takes it from 102 to about 98.5 million metric tons in the report that came out at 12 Eastern today. This morning, we get CONAB, the Brazilian version of USDA, puts out their production number, and they peg that at a little over 96 million tons. And, you know,
both of those are a little stronger than a lot of the trade,
right? Exactly. Right? You beat me to the punch there. There are quite a few folks that think that number is closer to 92. Some that think it's even sub 90. So I don't think from the standpoint of this report, we got, you know, firm confirmation of where that number is going to settle out. The ending stocks, as far as the way production appears to be going down there, is going the right direction. But the bottom line is, you know, you're talking anywhere from another 2 to, you know, on the extreme other end of that, 6 million tons that may still need to come out of that ending, that global ending stocks number, which starts to support the opportunity for stronger exports and tighter ending stocks as a whole out of the U.S. for 21-22. So definitely something to keep an eye on as far as corn is concerned. For soy, it was also a little surprising because there, market's expecting, okay, we may give or take 2 million bushels from where this number's at, you know, at 120. You know, we're hearing about imports of beans. We're hearing about, you know, some imports of meal. Okay. Well, what we got was a 15 million bushel reduction in crush for 2021. No other changes to the S&D. So that took our ending stocks up by 15 million bushels to 135. And then, you know, comparatively to what we've talked about with sugar and corn, that then works its way through the 21-22 balance sheet as well. And we get a higher number there of 155 million bushels, again, based off of the acreage numbers at the end of March, which are likely to be higher. To what degree, though? Time will tell whether or not farmers shifted more acreage towards beans, if we're going to get a balance between the beans and the corn, if they, you know, took it else from somewhere else. Time will tell on that. But the bottom line is that's what happened with soybean. But then for all my oil buyers out there who are perpetually nervous about what the next 12 to 18 months will bring, that just means less production. If that is the case, if it is a matter of importing more soybean meal leading to less crush. So that took our production number for soybean oil in 2021 down 135 million pounds from the May estimate. And that took our ending stocks down about 10 million pounds from last month to about 1.8, a little over 1.8 billion. They left everything unchanged for 21-22. And ending stocks are hanging in there for that year around 1.5 billion. Now, no changes were made to the biofuels category. We're not necessarily overconfident that everything's getting captured there. And the other thing I think, you know, from an oil standpoint is this question of, okay, well, if we're tight on soybean oil, which basis would suggest, which futures would suggest, which overages would suggest, what do we substitute with? And, you know, the weather story that the last six to 9 months has been, will be for the at least the next 3 months, not just watching U.S. weather as it relates to production here, not just watching the rest of the Brazilian season, which, you know, getting through pollination at this point, it's more about what impact will that have on harvest, what impact will that have on exports because of, you know, low levels on the Parana River. It also means following weather in the Canadian prairies where the canola is grown to see what we're going to end up with there as well. So the moral of the story is anticipate, you know, continued volatility in pricing for the foreseeable future. Sorry, not what anybody wants to hear, but
not what we want to hear at all.
That's what it is.
And 20 days is the big day, right?
Yes, yes. I think everyone will be closely monitoring their screens on June 30th.
Yeah, so I'd suggest get those vacations in quick. You got 20 days.
Yes, right.
Be back on your desk on the 29th to catch up and make sure you're ready for some volatility on the 30th. And
right.
And after 4th of July, yeah, you can probably take another week or two off there and see what's going on.
Well, I think that means we're not only going to support ethanol demand on the 4th of July, we're going to support alcohol demand on the 4th of July. That's what that sounds like to me, Kevin.
I think so. I think you could see a lot of it on July 1st, July 2nd, July 3rd, yeah. July 4th. Just have to see how that number comes out.
Right. It may be celebratory or, you know.
Or the other.
Maybe. Or the other. Or the other.
We don't even want to go there.
Well, I'll give you just a little bit on wheat. We don't have Eric here with us today. You know, he's our in-house wheat guy.
Speaking of alcohol consumption, I think that might be in order for him as well.
Yeah, I do believe so. Although he said he would be on his best behavior. So yeah.
Fans of Eric, you can all ask him about it because I'm sworn to secrecy.
That doesn't make it any better, Kevin. That probably makes it worse. So on about wheat. So not nearly as I guess entertaining as corn and soy, but we did see ending stocks for 2021 lowered by 20 million bushels to 852 million. That was due to greater export demand, which is ultimately likely destined for feed. As we've seen globally, a lot of substitution of pretty much anything you can feed livestock at this point, but wheat being no exception. And for the 21-22 crop year, they raised yield a bit, about one bushel per acre to 50.7, to, you know, which served as an adequate means of offsetting that drop to beginning stocks due to that reduction from the year prior. And then global ending stocks fell by a bit more than a million metric tons, sitting at just below 293.5 million for this year. And for 21-22, they actually raised ending stocks by 2 million tons to a little under 297 million tons. Again, watching weather, those prairies apply, as do the plains in the Midwest, to see what we're going to see here for spring wheat. And then also because of that strength in pricing for competing crops, what we might see with the acreage confirmation at the end of the month report as well. So yeah, June 30th is a big day. Don't take it off or take it off.
Looking forward to that day for sure. And hopefully that's a day where we can start a downward trend instead of this continuous upside stuff.
That would be great.
Thanks, Nicole. That's a great recap as always. And just a reminder to all of our audience out there, we have our upcoming webinar on Thursday, June 17th. That's 1 week from today.
Yes.
And you will get Nicole talking about corn and soy and edible oils, myself covering sugar. And please join us. Visit our website to register for this can't miss event. And that wraps up our weekly Hot Commodity Podcast. I want to thank everyone for listening in. And as Mike always says, live with an attitude of gratitude. Until next time, take care.
See ya.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Flavelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.